Welcome to this very special episode of the podcast. Today, Nigel's drinking what looks to be blended poop and milk in a cup. Can you explain to us either why there's A, too much milk in your coffee to make it... Yeah, that's fucking rancid looking. What is that, Nigel?
It's great.
It's like Coca-Cola with milk?
Is it milk tea?
With a chunks of ice?
You've been...
What's in
it? You guys have been so mean.
I've never...
Wait. Nigel!
I've never seen somebody make tea, like milk tea at home with ice in it. Is it milk tea?
Yeah, but I didn't make it.
Is it from a can?
From a bottle.
Oh.
I guessed
it's
milk...
Kieran milk tea.
Oh.
I guessed milk tea because he's been on a tea kick lately.
Yeah.
So this is like his yeah.
I feel like I'm always on one.
I'm all in on tea.
Yeah, I can't stop.
You're only 50% really on tea. Wait, but now, I don't know.
No tea?
I know, somebody, you couldn't make that joke, but I was saying now he's going back to the milk thing. Yeah, back on the M.
No. I'm off milk, man.
No, but there's milk in the tea.
Yeah, only a small amount.
Is it?
I think.
Okay. Why the ice? Why not just refrigerate it? I'm serious.
It is refrigerated.
And then you put ice on top of it?
Yeah, just to get it really cold.
Okay.
It's all about the temperature.
I think the problem with the ice, though, is that it dilutes it, no?
No, you drink it fast.
Kevin and I did something really fun this week. I want to see if you're jealous. Do you think he's going to be jealous?
I'm never jealous of anything ever.
I think he's going to be jealous
We got to see Markiplier's movie.
Yeah. I'm wearing the shirt. I got the merch right here.
We watched Markiplier's movie with Markiplier.
It's like a horror movie, right?
Yeah.
Iron Lung.
Does that make you jealous at all?
Because he did it?
No, because I didn't know too much about the movie. But that's cool.
No, I think he would be jealous because Markiplier made his movie that he wanted to do.
Yeah. But.
Wait, okay, wait, what?
Okay, so...
Well, because you've been saying that you want to make...
A movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's okay. But, I mean, you know, the space is big.
I can confidently say that if I had to bet my life on you making a better movie than Markiplier, I would die. There is no way Nile Red could make a better movie than Markiplier.
So what you're saying is his movie wasn't good, but you still like. That's how
I didn't
low
say
you
that.
Think of me.
I didn't see. Now you're
joking.
Fishing.
He's
you're
just
desperate.
Trying to neg you, Nigel.
I'm just gonna tell you that I don't believe you could make a better movie than Markiplier. After seeing Markiplier,
you don't think I can
movies.
Make a 2-on-10 movie?
Does Nigel?
I think you could make. I think you could make a 2-on-10 movie, but that won't be a 10-of-10 movie.
It was a good movie.
I think that. I when you like, I hate reviewing.
Okay.
Because
you don't need to give a review.
Was it perfect? No. Did I like it? Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that when it comes to movies, all that matters is you like it. And I think like the more I think about it, I was thinking a lot about that movie after the movie.
Yeah, same. I wanted to go and look some stuff.
And I was like,
afterwards.
That's kind of like a fun movie experience where you watch something and it's like a horror movie. So it's like a lot of like, you know, redaction of information, right? Like it needs to like hide things from you to make it scarier. And there was like a lot of stuff where I was like, I was thinking about like, oh, wait, okay. So like that, so that this, so that. And I kind of actually felt like that was something whether they did it on purpose or not, that nobody does.
Yeah.
Like I felt like almost it was like a perfect video game movie where I felt a little bit like I had to discover things for myself.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was confusing. It was like I had to figure it out.
And I think it's based off of a video game called Iron Lung. And if you haven't, I haven't played it before. And, I don't really watch a lot of Mark's stuff either, but I was still able to go into that movie and like watch it and enjoy it without knowing too much about it beforehand.
Yeah. And Chelsea.
So it held its own.
Right.
I think.
Chelsea went with us and she hated it because it was scary.
Yeah.
Not because it, like, and I think that like
If, so, yeah, I did.
Right?
So you're saying, but that's like a... But
a some, good.
It, yeah, it's good.
Right? And so, like, that's huge.
So I would say if you do want to go see the movie, don't look up anything about it beforehand. If you're familiar with it, that's fine, but don't spoil it for yourself.
Yeah, I...
It works fine if you just go in totally blind.
I think that if you are, like... If you have even the slightest interest in seeing it, definitely go and see it.
Yeah.
Like, it's way better than it should be.
It has some sci-fi elements to it.
I'm so bad at, like, judging what kind of things are, like, what people think are good. I hate saying what's good because, like, it's all completely subjective. And so, like, it's enjoyable. It was a new experience for me. I don't really watch a lot of horror. It felt like a different type of, you know, slightly different type of movie. Like, it was very kind of video game. It had a lot of, like, video game cutscene energy to it.
Very video game coded.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think that I really liked it, and I think that other people are going to like it too. But, like, part of me, like, I can't tell if I'm just, like, proud of Markiplier for doing this.
Yeah.
Like, where is sort of the, like, the kind of cohort, you know, another YouTube friend made a thing that is, like, really cool.
And we got to see it in a theater.
To see it in an actual movie theater.
Yeah.
And versus, like, you know, I just, like, I'm so bad. I feel like I've liked stuff before that people have, like, collectively not liked, and then I've, like, hated stuff that people have collectively liked, and that makes me think that there is no such thing as like universally good. But I genuinely think that the fact that we're even having this conversation means it's already a huge win for Markiplier.
Yeah.
Because if it was a student film, we would not have any of these thoughts. Like, it was so good that we're comparing it to real, like, the real movie criticism
it
ecosystem.
Felt like A real movie.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Like
good production quality, good everything.
Great special effects. Awesome special effects. It's only in some spots too. Cause it's, like, obviously, like, a low budget movie. But it's all, like, super constrained. Like, they didn't do anything that cost money and introduced risk. Mm. Like, the two together. Like, when you're doing stuff, sometimes it's best to not go down a certain road because it introduces, like, more risk. Because, like, movies are hard. Like, there's so many things. Like, everything has to land perfectly, right? Like, if you have a bad script and good actors, it's going to be bad. Maybe it's fun, good for the wrong reasons. If you have, like, good actors, bad director, like, it's going to be bad. Like, everything has to work well. And if one part of it is a little bit off, and, like, nothing here was
off. Yeah, you
pick
up on it.
Right.
Exactly. And I didn't pick up on anything. Like, there's things personally that I would have done differently if I was in that situation.
Which one? Like, worse differently or strategically differently?
Strategically differently.
How so?
I mean, I don't want to give too much away. Oh. I mean, like, as the actor in that scenario, what I would have done.
But that's hard.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where your director would come in.
No. I mean, like, in this, as a person in this story, I'm like, why would they choose this decision?
But why, how would they know that? Like, that's where the writing comes in. Like, the writing is the hard part. Like, you have to predict not just, like, how the person on screen is supposed to feel, but, like, how the audience is going to interpret the person on screen. And so it's like, is the reaction, like, angry? Is it sort of, like, dilapidated? Is it, I'm, like, psychologically unwell due to the nightmare that a person is living?
No. I think that it's none of those things. That's just how it is. But, like, me being able to put myself, like, in that situation is me, like, being very engaged with the movie.
Right.
You know, like, being able to imagine, like, you know, if I was in there, I could do this, you know?
Where in the movie are we talking? How, after the halfway mark or before the halfway mark?
Before.
Okay.
Before. You know how he has to, like, go around and map out this area?
Yeah.
Basically.
Right.
I don't know.
What would you have done? Just dragged your submarine across the walls?
No, I wouldn't have really gone down that far. Number one.
He couldn't go up and down.
They lowered him, right? So they lowered him on a tether, and then he has to explore the area with thrusters.
Yeah. Right. So he you're stuck on the same level. I think that was what I picked away from it. He literally can't go up and down.
Yeah, I would have found a way to go up and down.
No, he did though.
What?
I think he found, like, a ramp or something, right?
Yeah.
But like, Kevin would have just done better.
I would have turned the sub on its side and used the bow thrusters to push me up.
What lever put the sub on its side?
The one where you turn it and the sub spins in a circle. But if you roll over on the side.
How do you roll on the side? You have to like drive up a wall or something?
You use a ballast?
You have no ballast. You can't see shit. Dude, the guy's like
Kevin.
The guy can't see it. You can't see anything. So like, okay, the premise, what part? I think, okay.
I would have gotten out of the sub if I... Oh, so they welded him. Oh, I don't want to give away too much. It's really hard to talk about.
Dropping spoilers,
They gave us rules of what not to say. How about we just talk about it, and then we give John the rules, and he can cut everything out.
Okay. Also, I don't want to talk about...
I don't want spoilers.
We're not going to spoil it.
There's one part of the movie where inside of the
sub... If it was a shitty movie, we would not be talking about it like this.
Yeah, this is like behind the scenes, little trivia for you guys. There's a scene in the movie where the sub is like, you know, it's not... crucial to the plot. He's just settling down to the ocean floor. The ground is shifting and he's getting slammed around on the inside of the sub.
Mm.
And the first time I watched that, I'm like, oh, it looks like they're just yanking him around with a cable inside of this submarine.
It looks good though. He like goes flying.
Oh yeah. It's like, oh wow. He really is flying. But I'm like, oh, you know what? They messed up because everything else in the sub isn't really moving with him. You know, like in a car accident, everything goes like flying and flying and flying.
Yeah. So we told him that and he was like, he's like, you have no idea.
Yeah. Well,
apparently, the entire thing is on a giant Stewart motion platform, like a hydraulic motion platform, and it's actually moving around.
Yeah, it's really like the whole thing is literally like that. He wasn't acting.
It wasn't acting. He's actually getting yeeted across the room.
He's standing still, and the sub is moving beneath his feet, and the wall is slamming into him.
But like,
is what's happening.
Some of like the wires in the back of the sub that are hanging were like actual real copper wires.
Really heavy copper wires that were like kind of tensioned.
So they don't wobble.
Like they're fixed in place, you know? So they don't wobble as much as you would imagine.
Your brain like wants to see.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, I had no idea. Because I'm sitting there thinking, obviously, like there's no way it's moving. I mean, I kind of felt like it looked a little bit too good.
Maybe they're like moving it back and forth a little bit, just, you know?
Yeah.
And he's acting the rest, like getting pulled.
I think I'm kind of curious if they're going to, because that would be like an easy thing to fix. Like if I was doing that, you could do that pretty easily in After Effects. Just like give it, just like the puppet tool, cut it out, paint the background.
Yeah.
It's a static camera. This is shaking around. I think you could do, I mean, who knows what they end up doing, but.
Yeah. Because we saw kind of like a rough draft, but I think they're going to change. He said that the VFX
like
that we saw are only, the VFX are like, you know.
Really?
A rough.
Oh, they look great.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, wait, that was the rough?
I couldn't even tell like what was the effects and what was practical. Like it almost, I mean, you can tell there's some stuff that like you couldn't really do.
Well, like remember when that like thing, the like,
like
space wave.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
That was cool.
I really like the sort of concept. Like I think the vibe of like not having any idea what's going on, just sort of being trapped in this thing where we talk about the... Oh, here's like, I don't even know if this is a criticism yet. This could turn, I think this discussion is going to, this conversation right now is going to determine if I have any criticisms about the Markiplier Iron Lung movie.
Okay.
On the sub or the vehicle or whatever the hell it is, there is a camera.
Yes.
And are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Yes.
Okay.
I was thinking it
the whole time.
Yeah.
The camera... is so like they're inside like the thing, like they're diving in this body of
it's an ocean, but
ocean
they,
of
yeah ocean of
blood,
yeah
can we say that?
I think so.
It's an ocean of blood and you can't see out the window. There's like one window and it has like a cover most of the time because there's no point and you can't see anything. So how do you navigate? And it's like, well, you use x-rays first of all. Guys, you could totally use sonar. This is like what sonar was built for.
Oh, okay.
Second of all, is that how x-rays work?
There's backscatter.
That was the only thing. Has anyone made a backscatter x-ray camera?
That's basically just...
XRF.
That's sonar, but at a higher frequency.
But that's what I'm saying. Is like, has the anyone... Because you would have to like... I mean, there is a...
That is how the airport scanners work, right?
Backscanning what? Or backscatter what?
The ones that spin around you.
There's no... It's not x-rays. It's millimeter waves or something. They're tiny.
Microwaves.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not x-rays. No freaking...
It's not x-ray. Okay.
No. But no. I know they do... But
the x-rays would suck if there's like a soft material. You get like almost nothing back.
Well, that is the premise of... The exploration is he can't see anything. except for hard, like dense, you know, X-ray dense objects. Mm. So there is a point in the movie where you learn that it is, in fact, a very powerful X-ray machine.
Yeah.
So it could, this is why I'm curious. Like, is it a backscatter thing? Like, is that a thing that exists? Like, if you blast it out an obscene amount of X-rays, you could catch the reflection and expose for it.
I'll look it up. So is this what you're complaining about? Or is there a...
This is my complaint.
Yeah. Okay.
There is a backscatter. Like, you should get, but I don't know how easy that would be to
capture
image.
Well, that's my question. Because you have to lens the backscatter, right? Like, it's just acting like a strobe, right?
I think you do it like Doppler. So you wait for the X-rays to bounce back, and then you can tell
how far away
stuff is.
But would that be like a point detection? Could you do a whole field at once?
I think you would need two for that, two, right?
X-ray? Well, I mean,
is it phasing?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I definitely don't.
No, I mean, backscatter. Yeah. So I was going to say like the vehicle X-ray things that you drive through.
That's backscatter?
Yeah.
And that's X-ray. All right. I have no complaints about the Markiplier movie.
You were just, you know, ignorant.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know.
Wow,
they were,
it's cool. They have just like a unit that you can hold up to a car, and it like gives you a live readout.
That's horrifying. Is this not just like blasting the driver inside?
Whoa, dude. It's like a line scanner.
Are they not obliterating everything inside the...
I think it's really low.
Well, how deep is it going to the car then?
Well,
I know, like, the claim that that they made about the movie was that it's the most fake blood used in any movie. And I, you know, then I've seen some people saying, no, it's not. Honestly, I believe it. There's so much blood in the movie, like oodles. It's like, it's sort of obscene how much blood is in a couple of spots. Like, imagine like flooding and like a car filling up with water because it's blood. Like, it's literally like a school bus full of blood just in sort of the like most memorable portion. I'm not even sure that's the part that has the most blood, but like, it's the Willy Wonka chocolate factory of blood. It's truly something else. I've never seen anything like it. It was like, it looked disgusting, like a mess, like a huge mess.
I just want to say that there was X-ray backscatter used in airports up until 2013.
Why? They were irradiating people for no reason?
Yeah, well, that's it. Now millimeter wave scanners came out. But before that, the only reason they got rid of them was because the person that made them couldn't implement software changes for automatic target recognition software.
Really?
Yeah, so millimeter wave. People, they could do it.
Oh my
God. They got the contract.
How much X-rays was it exposing people to?
I think it's like basically functionally nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very efficient?
Yeah, very efficient.
Hmm. Weird.
Yeah.
Did they give you your scans afterwards?
I wish.
Cowards. So yeah, if you have any interest in the Markiplier movie, definitely go see the Markiplier movie. I know it's going to be in theaters, I think, in January. I don't know any of the details of how that works or what theaters, but I think there's like a couple hundred smaller theaters that it's going to be in. And
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. I would recommend going to see it. I enjoyed it. I stopped going to the movie theater after I think the last Doctor Strange came out, because it was so fucking bad.
Yeah.
And the Markiplier movie is not that. Like, it's such a like indie, like good, like artistic sort of, you can feel like how much work went into it.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like soulless slop. It's this thing that a guy spent like years. They filmed in like 2013.
No way.
Planning. Wow. And post-production, like, so much time went into it, and it's so much better than it has any right to be, that you should go and see the Markiplier movie.
Yeah, I want to go see it again when it comes out.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
To see the changes?
Yeah, to see the changes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's our iron lung.
I thought it was good. Yeah, I don't want to support, like, all the slop movies that come out in theaters now.
I know. But that's like, paying to see something that someone who cares made feels like such a unique experience.
Yeah,
where
it's not like a cash grab.
No. Oh, no.
You know, like all
it?
The new movies kind of are not. Yeah.
I bet you that maybe it breaks even. I'm trying to think like how much money do you think they spent, if you had to guess? Dude, I don't even.
It's so hard to know. It's so, I was about to ask that. It's so hard to know what the budgets are.
I would say probably like 5 million.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I would say more than a million, less than 5 million, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mark, he's not on a super budget. Yeah. But
he has money to burn.
But not that much.
I bet you it's a couple million dollars.
Yeah.
Which is astoundingly cheap for what they did. So definitely go and see the Markiplier movie. That's my review of the Markiplier movie.
Yeah.
Is I enjoyed it. It's good. You should see it. Support someone who's doing something they care a lot about, who did a good job. We love you, Markiplier.
Nigel has a horror movie idea. Wait, he would like to pitch you.
I don't
you.
Think you had.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't think I said you didn't invite me. I don't think you had the right to invite me.
I invited Kevin.
See, that's why I was gassing you up at the beginning, Nigel, is because he might watch this. So you got to tell him about your movie.
He's not going to watch this. That dude works like every minute of the day. Say, I love you, Markiplier.
I feel bad because it sounded like I was ripping on his movie before.
Well, if you tell Markiplier you love him right now.
I was trying to
say, I love you, Markiplier.
I love you, Markiplier.
Oh,
what?
John, can we cut that and put our names after?
Hey, what's his name, Nigel?
I don't remember.
Say Markiplier. What's my name?
Markiplier.
What's my name? Plier. Mark Plier.
Plier. Mark and Plier.
Feels bad, man.
They're called. No, I mean, I'm definitely probably going to check it out now. I didn't actually know that I vaguely remember hearing that he was making a movie. Because I think he's like, I think it was a year ago or something. I saw a random video he posted saying he was working on something that he couldn't talk about. I'm assuming this is probably what it was.
100%.
That's cool, though. I mean, horror is my favorite genre.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I think you will like this. There's a lot of a lot of standout moments and standout things just from like a visual perspective that are very well done and like stand on their own.
Yeah.
Like just some of the makeup and prosthetics and the sound design. I felt like the sound design was really good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you picked up on that at all. But there was a lot of very good, underwater vessels.
Yeah, like creaking and groaning.
It was good.
They made good use of the surround sound system too.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was just the theater experience where it's like loud and around.
Yeah.
That made it feel really good, but it felt really, really good.
Yeah.
Was there music? I don't even remember.
I don't remember any music.
Oh, the dude guy.
What I was going to say in terms of making a movie myself, no, I definitely would not.
Oh, I think there was.
Even if Markiplier's movie was.
Yeah.
Even if his movie was bad, I probably couldn't make a better movie.
I watched that movie. I actually said that to Mark, too. I was like, Mark, we've always thought about making a movie, and there's no way it would be anywhere near this.
Exactly. Yeah.
The problem is, I was thinking about this the other day in general, because I do want to make a movie. But I do feel like trying to make a movie is like when you start YouTube. You're like, hey, I got a camera. You see one of us making a video. And you're like, I'll make a video like them. And it's like now I can see it from that perspective being like, oh, you're kind of stupid if you think that. Because there's so much you have to learn that you're not even aware of. So it's like I feel like if I made a movie, it would be better than some slop, I would say, quote unquote, a bunch of people would make.
Yeah.
But not, I would say it's better than average if you gave an average person a camera or make this into a film.
If we were smart.
But I have no experience.
If we were smart about it, I think like the best thing you could do is reduce the scope as much as possible, right? You have as few variables as you can, feasibly have for a functioning movie. That means special effects gone.
Yeah.
Locations gone. Get rid of all external factors that could degrade the quality of what you're doing that you don't have the skill, resources, or budget to build out.
But movies just have a vibe about them that's different than than a normal video. And it's hard to nail that vibe, but you can tell when it's off. It's like an Uncanny Valley movie.
Yeah.
Because you know? You're much more in tune with like the emotions of what's happening on screen.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
You're like, you have to like write out like how you think that emotional flow will happen. And then the actor has to act out how that emotional flow happens. And then when you put it all together, the audience has to believe like, oh, this guy lives with this person and they're friends. But then one day, one of the guys, you know, his dog dies. And then this is how he responds to it. And that's how the roommate, and you're just like, well, I don't believe that that's how that person would actually respond. Yeah. It starts to feel like bad.
I agree with you in the sense, because there's a famous or pretty popular example of it, the movie Primer from 2004.
Oh, I think I've seen part of it.
Oh, yeah. Like, it had a $7,000 budget, and at box office, it made $850K, and it's made multiple millions.
That's like a time travel movie.
The $7,000 budget is such horseshit, because that basically means that the movie was
film
all,
students.
It was all free. Well, that means they didn't actually spend any, like they effectively spent way more than $7,000.
But I'm saying, but it was film students. So everyone in the movie was just, that's what I thought it was. They did it for free because it was not like a major production. I think they rented the camera equipment for free
right.
or cheap.
Like from school or something. Yeah.
Or something. But it is an example of like what you were just saying. If you actually watch the movie, it's a really good movie. The number of scenes is very low. And like even what pops out to me is like the first movie, the Saw movie. Most of the movie's in one room.
Yeah.
It's just two guys in a room.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you want to make
exercise, the ultimate exercise. Like if you can write out X number of pages, whatever that is, a minute per hour, like 60 to 120 pages. About just two guys doing something in one room. Now you've truly exposed yourself to the hardest part of the whole process, which is like good storytelling.
But that's the thing is, I think the thing that honestly kind of fails a lot of, especially a lot of horror, but in general, well, not especially a lot of horror, all movies, is the writing is just weak.
Yeah, it relies on visuals.
But not even just that. It's like, even if you ask yourself, like, what is bad script writing?
Mm.
And it's because there's a lot of the simple example is everything has to be in a movie. Everything has to be presented. But if it's expositional, I don't know what the word is.
Exposition.
It's when bad script writing is always the classic, like, oh my God. Like, I can't believe mom, I can't believe you did this.
How's your sister doing after her cancer diagnosis six months ago and the 12 rounds of chemo that she just finished up yesterday? And you're like, are you asking me? And then explaining to me about my sibling?
Yeah.
So a lot of, you'll notice if you pay attention in like better written stuff, they will try to get away as much as they can without saying it. But then it's a game of presenting the relationship the characters have, but without saying it. So, for example, I remember I was watching something and it's like the way that you find out these people are siblings is you don't really know how they know each other, but it's like just the way they're interacting. You're like, they're not like,
yeah,
no, but it's just like, it's almost like, if it in a show or something, if there's a dude gets a knock at the door and it's like a woman who's kind of similarly aged and he just answers the door. He's like, what do you want?
Yeah.
It's like you now know they know each other and you're now part of the fun part of the show or the movie is like finding out that where it's just like if they just start saying it's like the classic, it's like, why is my sister showing up at midnight? You're like, okay.
Hey,
like,
that makes sense. But it's just... It's midnight o'clock. What's
but it's like
wrong?
If they open the door, it's like
normally you don't come over this late. What's wrong?
Is mom's cancer aggravating her again? Yeah.
Yes, it is mom's cancer.
Did dad run over the dog again?
A lot of the fun part in it is finding out like what their relationship is because it's not just spelled out. Because
you
that becomes
you
difficult.
You guess and then it's like, oh, I was right. Yay.
Yeah.
Kind of moment.
Right.
Yeah, where it's like imagine that's like, again, someone knocks at the door at like midnight. The guy answers the door and goes, what do you want? Immediately you're like, hey, the time is weird. And they're reacting like this means they know each other well. And then the person goes, just I'm coming in. And you're like, okay, well, obviously. And that's kind of like what makes the story interesting is because you're trying to figure it out. and the little clues are dropped, but that's like all in the script writing. And I feel like if you, that is avoidable, because I feel like that's even in YouTube videos, like especially if you have narratives, you do that a lot where you're trying not to be like, oh, I'm not going to explain what's on the screen. Like, I'm trying to be careful so I don't say things twice or do this. If you're aware of that, I feel like you can avoid a bunch of those pitfalls. And then if you do it, like you said, you make the story, you start with something simple and have the fewest people and locations possible.
Yeah.
It is possible to make something surprisingly decent, but you do need to build your way up. Like, you start with like short stories, maybe like a 5-minute thing or a 3-minute video. You do have to practice, even though it's so like boiled down. Yeah, if you jumped right into a movie, you would just get cooked. It would just be like a disaster trying to put it together in the end.
A good moment like this, like we're talking about, the new Stranger Things. Have you seen it?
No, I've heard it's kind
I
of...
I haven't.
Well,
okay,
so at this one point, they're in the underground. There's a big wall made out of meat. They can't figure out
the meat wall.
How to get around the meat wall.
I've seen the meat wall.
Later on, a few episodes later, there's somebody else is in a different part of the underground town, and they see the meat wall and they're like, whoa, wait, you know, so I'm like, I turn to Sandra and I'm like, it's not a meat wall, it's like a meat ring around something. And she's like, yes, that's what they're implying.
Fuck you.
No, I mean
the disrespect.
No, it wasn't like that. It was like, I don't know. I was just happy because I figured it out. But I mean, they were leading you to this the whole time.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, it's a ring. And she's like, she didn't do it like passive aggressively.
How did she know? She already watched it?
No, but I mean, it was so obvious, but it was just like, you know,
I put,
yeah. I mean, once they introduced like from the other side, they also have a wall that it's like, oh, something must be on the, like between
right.
the walls kind of
okay,
thing.
That makes sense.
So I don't know. It was just one of those moments that made me feel like I had a brain blast, yeah. And I liked that.
How could you assume that it was hollow and not just a meat cube?
It could have been a meat cube.
Right.
You're right.
That's a totally reasonable outcome.
I don't know. It was too organic to be a cube.
But a wall is fine?
Like a fleshy wall? A fleshy circular wall?
Just like a big living brick.
Oh, yeah. But my complaint about the wubby thing.
I'm
sorry. No,
oh,
no.
God,
my really complaint about the...
Wait,
this
what?
This is
Markiplier
this,
movie?
This is going to lead into the Wubby thing.
Oh,
I had
no.
a whole transition.
Wait, what is
but now
the Wubby
I ruined
thing?
It. Okay, the Markiplier thing was, you know, my complaint was the X-ray, the screen that they would use to look at what's outside of the ship wasn't up front with the controls of the submarine.
Is that how the game works, though?
So I'm guessing that's how the
it
game
has
works.
Has to be how the game works.
Yeah, it's like a game mechanic,
John,
not
you know this?
A movie mechanic.
You're not familiar with the game?
So it's like in the game, I'm guessing you have to leave your station controlling the sub to go to the back of the sub to blast the X-ray scanner, to take a picture, and then go back to the controls.
Yes. Yeah. I imagine if your like the dashboard for your car was like in the back.
So you
seat.
Had to like you're reversing. You have to
you
go
like
and
look over. Except it's big speed. Enough now that you have to like get up and walk there. So like you literally can't. Like there's a porthole on the front of the sub that you can see out. But because of the environment they're in, you can't see anything.
Yeah.
And so the porthole basically is completely ineffective. And so you have to use the camera to navigate.
Yeah.
And so you have to get up, walk to the side of the sub, press the button to take the picture. And so then he's like trying to figure out how to make it so that it like, oh yeah, that was, I was going to say, if you hold the button down, it just keeps blasting over and over again. And I was like, that's fucking horrific UI design from whatever engineer built that.
Yeah.
Thing. Jesus Christ. You just hold it and it keeps blasting X-rays.
Yeah, like oops, the button's stuck. And now when I go up to the surface or something.
Doom, doom, doom.
Yeah.
Because it would only take an X-ray every like, I don't know, a couple of seconds.
There was anyway, Chekhov's gun was, you know, the moment on the submarine when they asked if you had the shield. Is the shield good? I'm like, oh, that's foreshadowing.
Oh, for the porthole?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm,
my
mm-hmm.
Wubby's thing,
the
Chekhov's baseball throwing machine that they kept hinting at. They were, yeah.
What?
Yeah, well, they had like a shot of it. They kept showing like a static shot of it, kind of.
In the back somewhere?
No, like after it happened.
Oh, okay.
And I thought something else was going to happen with it. And it never did. I thought you guys might.
Did you
end
see
up
you put the tangerine
it.
In it?
Yes, and shooting it
and
at the Oni.
I stuck at the tangerine. Yeah. And just got eaten alive.
I was like, if I was there, I'd be shoving all kinds of things.
I started and they got mad at me. They were like, stop putting it. You're going to break it.
Good. They're probably going to. Wait, who yelled at you?
The
co-star contestants.
What do you call the people in the Saw movies?
Co-prisoners.
Co-prisoners. My fellow inmates.
Nigel, did you watch any of that stream?
Holy shit.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you tell them?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I got a message from Pay Money Wubby like a week ago asking if I wanted to be on the 24-hour live stream.
Oh, God.
So I asked him a few questions and then said yes.
Oh, no. What happened?
Holy shit. It was fucking insane. I would say it's an experience I will never forget. I don't know if it comes. There's no way it comes across on camera, but like I feel like it was a combination of boot camp, Guantanamo Bay, and a book of the worst 10 Stanford prison experiments all happening simultaneously with like the worst bits that had been pulled back to be like functionally and emotionally viable enough to pull.
Yeah.
Like there is no fucking way an ethics board would approve an experiment like this in a university setting. That's what it was. Like,
okay, what was the stream?
The stream was, we were trapped in a gymnasium, like a school gymnasium, for 24 hours, and every some amount of time, something fucking awful would happen.
Why would you do this?
It wasn't like...
I don't know, Nigel!
And it wasn't like on a set, you know, interval either.
No, it was kind random.
Of, yeah.
So there was a huge stage in the corner, and on it is like this mechanical lift, like a stage lift that like launched like Michael Jackson out of the stage. If you ever seen that clip?
Yeah, yeah.
And like these CO2 cryo cannons that just blast like 3,000 PSI, you know, out of these enormous tanks. I saw this after the fact. I had no fucking idea what was going on during it. And so you hear this like, poosh, and then this a dude in like a black like gimp suit, like morph suit, would be launched out of the stage and just come running after you.
Like full speed.
Full
just
speed.
Sprinting at the contestants.
And the four of us, the four co-torturees, would have to run from them. And so it was like tag. It was 24 hours of tag. And if they tagged you, you got punished. And the punishment was just, was like the most, like, well, some of it was fine, but you never knew what it was going to be. And some of it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to get like it was the
like there's
fear.
A chance it could be something really like gross or awkward or uncomfortable or it's like, you know, some of them were easy.
Yeah, mine was getting like baseballs launched at one of mine. I say one. I think like 50 things happened. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Like one of them was a baseball pitcher, like machine launching baseballs at me. And I'm sitting there like against this wall. I'm like strapped to a wall and I'm like, am I going to break my spine?
Yeah.
And it turns out they just had probably gotten the cheapest pitching machine on Amazon. It was the weakest shit. I was like, thank you. It only had a single wheel.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a double one.
The doubles.
I think the double one would have been bad. Yeah, so that's, you can see the like, there's like fear when you hear sound. Like, I think if you like scroll to the beginning, you can probably see like the head twitching.
Oh, yeah. You guys were like fast. Twitch chat was faster, though.
This chat was unbelievable. So we're just sitting at this table, like, and then you like everyone's like up, out, get away, get away, get away, get away, get away.
And then he comes and he chases you guys, picks off like the weakest of the pack.
So you like hide in the corner. That back corner was like the farthest away. And then you would kind of wait because they would tend to like pick somebody to chase. It was like prey drive.
And so you would go for the most unhealthy.
Yeah, right. If you didn't want to book it.
Oldest or sickest.
Right. If you booked it. It was, I swear to God, like...
Oh, they would lock onto you.
They would lock onto you.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times I would try to be as slow as possible. I would like, I would kind of hide in the corner, blend in.
Their vision is, vision's based on movement.
Exactly. It's obscured and based on movement. And so it's so funny. Cause like, if you look at like...
Wait, is this video online now?
Yeah. It's literally 24 hours. It's actually more than 24 hours. Or maybe, I don't know. I think we started a little bit late. And so their punishment, they got two of them. They had to blow out these candles. And there's like a bunch of just like porn.
Yeah.
Sex workers behind those.
Fans. It was sponsored by Fansly.
Why did you do this?
I regret nothing.
Okay, if you watch the stream, it looks really fun. And
I would say in real life, it was definitely I would say there's some like loosely ingrained PTSD. I think I understand. I like truly understand PTSD. You know? Mm-hmm. There's like these repeated, like I said the only thing I can think of in this moment is like I felt like a kid in my room playing and then there was like a sound.
Like dad's home.
Yeah, like dad's home. Like you, but it was not just like dad's home. Yeah. He opened the door. It was like you could hear the car down the street.
Oh yeah.
Like it was such an important thing for your brain to like know.
Yeah,
and it starts picking up on these like minute cues.
That's what I was wondering. Like, could you hear the Onis like slightly walking?
No, do you
like-
know what we could hear, Kevin? Is nothing because it would get quieter.
Oh, okay.
It would get more quiet.
Yeah, interesting.
And so when we started, like, I'm telling you.
So people are, like, playing backstage, just talking, chatting.
Like, they're organizing stuff.
Like, watching a game, a football game.
And then before they would send them in, it would just get, like, a little bit more quiet.
Mm.
And so when it gets really quiet, we've kind of, like, we're sitting there looking. We've kind of, like, get out of your crisscross applesauce. Like, I'm telling you, I would not sit crisscross applesauce because it actually takes, like probably double the time to get up when your legs are locked together like that.
Wow.
So like, I think the worst game that I had to play, the one I was most afraid of was the cockroach in a tube. So there was two, it was me and Poob, and we're on each side of a tube that has a cockroach in the middle, a dead cockroach, and you had to blow it in the other person's mouth. You're like both like fighting on the straw.
Yeah. Yeah. Who won that one?
I won that one. I was not.
Good job. Good job.
I was locked in.
Was it close?
No. I dominated Poob. I got lung capacity for days.
Was it a live cockroach?
No, it was dead.
Oh, okay. Okay.
If it was like a cricket or something, I think I would have been fine. I just also like I won a nap in the safe room.
Oh.
So
those were the stakes.
Yeah, I didn't know I was gonna win that, but I did win that after. Like, oh, you win awesome. 30 minutes in the safe room, which is even closer to the stage. And so every time the cannons go off, it was like I had heard them enough times that it still was like I like woke up with my heart racing.
Yeah. So were there any stakes or what was there a prize
just,
at the end?
No, it was just punishments and no prizes. Oh, there was one stake. It was an actual stake. Yeah. So this is telling you, fuck. They even fucked with the food. That was the hardest part is nothing was good. Like if you saw something good, it was only there to be taken from you. Like if it was animals, like if they did this stream with dogs, people would have been losing their fucking minds.
Yeah.
Like imagine putting down like something really nice in front of a dog and taking
it
away.
Yeah.
Like, that's the life we were living. And so the only like what was holding
like you
me
would,
together.
You would be canceled and just off of Twitch?
Yes, you're everywhere.
So, yeah.
I had two, there were two truths. I had two, maybe three truths. But when I started, there was one truth. Is my socks were fully loaded with Slim Jim.
Contraband?
Contraband. So we went to the AMPM and I got like the, not the Slim Jim ones, but the like the flat ones that are like kind of just almost like OSB of beef jerky.
Yeah.
The congealed chipboard. One, chipboard jerky. I had four of those.
Yeah.
And I had a thing of Mentos and a Clif Bar in my socks the entire 24 hours. The Mentos were soggy as fuck. They were like absorbing my moisture. And so that was like my first truth is I knew that no matter what, I had like some snacks.
Yeah.
And the second truth then was my fellow prisoners, the camaraderie, the trauma bonding. It was so strong. Because the prison was like so bad that there was basically nothing that I think could have folded us against each other.
Yeah, they couldn't break you.
Right. It was like the only thing you have, even if these are the worst fucking people you've ever met, They're like the one of the only things that are like stable in your life.
You have to stick together. You have to stick.
Like your life's
collectively. It's like a survival thing.
Like actually, I was not thriving. I was surviving.
It's like a monkey brain algorithm.
Yeah. The most painful part of the whole thing was mental, not physical. Like if I had known what the punishments were, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But when they would come out, they'd have like lettering on their chest that would say something. And none of it led directly to like a punishment. And a lot of times it would mislead you. Like you would think like, this, and now it's that.
Yeah.
Like the worst version of whatever that word could mean.
Okay. So in War, don't they've described it as immense boredom punctuated by moments of sheer terror.
Yes. Yes. That's what it was.
So what did you do during the immense boredom stages between?
Oh, the enrichment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the enrichment we got. The first enrichment was, I think, just food. I think the first thing they gave us was food, and it was just fucking Uncle Ben white rice cup with soy sauce. I got a good amount of soy sauce. Two of the guys got freaking doused with soy sauce. So that was like our first enrichment. We had these I could be remembering this out of order. Then the second enrichment, I think, was the hot dog puzzle. Right? Like, because you now have like new stimulation. It's not like the food is a new stimulation. The puzzle's a new stimulation.
Gotcha.
1,000-piece Oscar Mayer hot dog pack puzzle that we got. We did the hardest parts. We did the edges. I think we were maybe missing one piece. Matt got all of the corners away.
Yes,
corners and edges. And like most of the time we had completely sorted all the colors. Like the bulk of the time was like sorting them into like gradient colors. So you had like the hot dog skins were brown, but then you had darker brown and lighter brown. And we realized that like the darkest side was the bottom right corner. So the gradient was like lightest on the top and the side, darkest on the right side and the bottom. And so we kind of like were starting to like, you know, organize by gradients and by colors while they were building like the text pieces. And so we get like full edge, some of the center pieces done, colors fully sorted, probably 3 hours into the puzzle. And they send another Oni out, another a black gimp suit demon nightmare, and the fucking dude, they know we're gonna run to the corner.
Yeah,
we run to the corner, the back corner of the gym, and the dude doesn't get to us. He gets to the table with the puzzle on it, and he fucking wrecks it and then scoops half of it into a bucket and runs away.
Yep. You looked like a prisoner that was told that they were getting sent home, and then the guard's like, "Oops, sorry, I was talking like my bad."
It was actually imagine
that's
you're in
not
prison
for another 3 years.
You go to like
that was
consignment.
The look on your face.
You buy like a Pop-Tart,
yeah,
and then a guard fucking takes it from you as you walk away.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like. That's where we were at.
It was like disbelief on your face. Like,
it was like
no way,
nothing. Take nothing for granted. Like if they put something in front of you that was nice, it needed to disappear immediately. Like food, like when, so like the second food that came, or the second enrichment after they destroyed the fucking puzzle, was that shitty alligator game, the like crocodile dentist.
Yeah.
Which we didn't play with at all. And then after that, the next food, I think, was the hot dog. I think.
I'm Dr. Christina Chen, a geriatrician at Mayo Clinic and host of Aging Forward, a podcast highlighting unique topics in geriatric medicine and the science of healthy aging, helping all of us live longer and fuller lives. Whether you're a caregiver for someone or learning how to care for your own health, we're here to help you feel informed, inspired, and empowered. Mayo Clinic's Aging Forward, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.
He just brought out a fucking cold hot dog at some point. Or maybe that was before. I don't even remember. We refused to eat the hot dog. It was so, we were like so disrespected. Like we were hungry and I'm telling you, I don't know where in the like psychology, like prison psychology train this is you, but like refusing to eat food that had been brought to you by your captor because it felt disrespectful. Like where is that in this chain? Like the food protest. That's a thing, right? It felt so natural at the time. We were just like, we're not going to eat this. We're not going to let you control like the
food. And you were hungry. Maybe they wanted to see you fight over the scraps.
I know, which is why we didn't. Because it was like, the ultimate. It was like the only protest we could have was to not eat it.
You know, you would have fought over it if it was real. Like,
I don't
imagine
know.
A prison camp yeah. full of POWs or yes. something like that. They throw in one hot dog. I think people. I think at that stage when you're like almost dead from starvation.
No, I think there's something in your brain.
You think?
I think there's like a human thing in your brain where if you have a common enemy, you're willing to sacrifice everything for the collective. Because collectively, you know, if you eat that hot dog in an environment with that strong of a bond over a common enemy, what are you doing to yourself in the collective?
Painting a target on your back?
Painting a target on your back.
Yeah.
So there's something in your brain that is like, so unwilling to paint that target where you see that and you know exactly where that's going and you're like, yeah. we're not going there. Like,
there's always one asshole though, but not no, amongst
but,
you.
But where yeah. did, what happens to that in an actual POW environment?
Yeah.
What happens to that asshole?
Oh yeah, he gets...
The asshole
yeah.
doesn't exist anymore. Nope. Either
prison
by
rules.
Choice or by force. So like the next food that came out was ramen. I'm telling you, like the food is the thing I remember the most. Like there's something about food. What do they say? Like,
yeah.
Don't fuck with people's food. They come out with like four things of ramen noodles, like instant ramen noodle pots, like the cardboard tubs, the big ones, not the foam ones. And a hot water pump. The like thermos that you pump on in like a little, I don't know, your work gets lunch kind of a thing that has full of coffee normally.
Yeah.
And I like pick it up and I'm like, oh shit, it feels... is not nearly as heavy as a thing of hot water should be. And so we like, you know, and I kind of real, I didn't say anything. I'm just like, just whatever. So they like fill like the first, you know, I don't even remember who did. I think it was Will pumps the water in and then fucking air comes out. And he's like only filled up his ramen bowl.
Oh.
And we're sitting there and it's like.
Four bowls of ramen, only enough water for one.
So at that point, all we've eaten is a cup of rice with soy sauce. A shared hot dog, and now ramen with not enough hot water.
Wait, how far, how many hours in has this been?
I actually don't.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Maybe 6 p.m. or something.
Wow.
Maybe 6 hours in.
Yeah.
And I think they brought a Diet Coke out at one point too. And I was like, I don't want that.
It's oh yeah, I saw gonna, Matt drinking one.
Yeah, if any of the anxiety I have right now is just gonna skyrocket. If
and
I
then they
an
kept
iota
bringing
caffeine.
Out somebody else's Zins or something.
Oh yeah, poop. Poop is addicted. This is your time to go cold turkey, dude. What the fuck? Take that.
Those are his estrogen pills.
Those are his
that's what
his
that's
estrogen.
What chat said.
Chat was give him feed him estrogen. And so we ended up just like splitting the hot water. We would like put the water in someone's noodles to try to cook them and then move it to the next noodles to try to cook them. Like I had like a half inch of water in mine. I put a little bit extra of just like a bottled water, one of the ones I've been sitting around, and I sat there for 10 minutes.
Like, really?
Dude, when time is free, you live your life differently. Like, my time is worth nothing in this environment.
So you're just going to sit there and watch the noodles until they're
perfect.
Soggy?
Perfectly enough.
With like room temperature water at this point.
Yeah.
So you can do it. You can cold brew ramen.
Yes. Okay. but good news is I think there might actually be a better way to cook ramen, and it's with less water and more al dente. Having a little bit of structure is actually kind of nice. Like it makes
I like that.
It's halfway in between like uncooked and cooked. Like it just, I mean, obviously it sounds fucking stupid saying it now, but like, it's like kind of the fun of eating the crunchy noodles.
Oh, you're talking about like maybe extra al dente.
Extra al dente for sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, also it could be because I was hungry.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a
choice. It's like a texture thing too.
It was a nice texture thing.
Yeah.
I think it actually like maybe worked better than regular.
Okay. Ramen. Have you ever left a cup of microwave ramen noodles in the microwave for a few extra minutes before you get them out? It's gross, man. It's
overswelled.
Yeah. They get over. Yeah.
Like worms.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what it feels like when you eat them. I hate you for that.
I'm sorry.
Oh man. It's gross, right? It's really gross.
No, I don't like the overcooked. I think it definitely undercooked better than overcooked. So you can kind of, I don't know if you can see where this is going, but like when something came out that was like a good thing, it immediately in our minds was a bad thing. Like no good comes without bad, but bad comes without good. And so you can find stability in the bad
And the better something was, the you were scared. You were more scared of it.
And ironically, once it achieved, once it peaked to maximum goodness, then it was safe.
Okay, give me an example.
So the breakfast, the first thing we ate in the morning, I think it was the first thing, that was like a actual breakfast sandwich made by a chef there that he like cooked it in front of us.
Yeah.
But like the lead up to that obviously is, oh no, the more time we spend watching the chef, the more we become like emotionally involved with these sandwiches.
Attached to those eggs, yeah.
Which then immediately in my mind, and I think this is sort of maybe the definition of trauma, in my mind, these signals led to somebody stepping on the sandwich in front of us. So it was like, it was the ultimate teasing.
Yeah.
Where it's not just, oh, you're hungry, here's some food. It was, here, you're hungry, we're making food for you. Here's your food. It was like dragging it out. So you had plenty of time to like develop this expectation, not just of food, but of having the food taken away from you. And and the worst part of them cooking it right in front of you is you can smell it.
I bet your mouth is watering.
I've like, never smelled something from that far away. I don't think my sense of smell is that good too. Like I think there's something wrong with it, but like, holy shit, dude, I could smell the bacon from like, I think 100 feet away.
Yeah. You were like you were having like a food mirage.
No, imagine you like go up to your house.
Yeah.
And you're like watching Sandra cook. And the first thing in your mind is she's going to give this to me and then like step on it and destroy it.
Yeah, and that was the relationship with your girlfriend. Bad. But if you say that, okay, this was only 24 hours.
No, like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The only thing that stopped me from killing somebody was knowing that it was only 24 hours and that I had a Slim Jim in my sock. Like, I'm not joking. Like, the only thing between throwing hands like for death.
Yeah.
Was a clock
was like
and
the
a Slim
disrespect.
Gym. The disrespect was completely buffered by like a clock on the wall and a $2 Slim Jim.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I learned something in general about society, humans, myself. And I'm very glad that normally when I go to bed at night, usually every night when I go to bed at night, I can just sort of close my eyes and not worry about anything.
Yeah.
Actually, it made me very grateful knowing that like I could go and get something to eat right now. No matter what, like I could get up right now and leave the podcast. It doesn't matter. Like you guys would be pissed at me.
Prison would suck.
But I think like prison would suck. But like in a different way.
Yeah.
It's worse, but better. Like you don't have the same. I mean, there's no fucking way unless you're in some absolute like shithole where the prison is more like prisoner of war. Like, but even then they wouldn't fuck with you because it would make their job more difficult. Like I think prison at least has like structure.
Yeah.
The lack of structure. And actually, if anything, the chaos and like the sort of degradation.
Definitely.
Was insane to experience. Like, it doesn't seem that bad, I think, watching it, but like being there IRL, the punishments were not that bad. The fear and the ignorance to what the punishment was, that was everything. Like it was so consuming, but like not knowing when or what. And then the running, like knowing that you're gonna have to get up and run. Like I wasn't running for fun. I was running for my fucking life, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was my 24 hours. Pay money, pay Webby money live stream. Would I do it again?
Yeah. That was my next question.
I think I would maybe do it again. Not now.
I was going to say.
I think it would take a while. I think that like, you know, I knew there was like, I didn't know exactly like where the line was with like how bad it would be with the punishments.
Yeah.
There were some that I definitely would have like tapped out on but you really don't want to do that.
No, you got to just,
But like sucking chocolate off of sex workers' toes. I'm like,
what?
It should have been me.
Who said that? Wasn't I didn't say that, did I?
No, no.
You're saying you would have tapped out.
I there's no way. There's no fucking
way. No, that's like the Yu-Gi-Oh meme where they're like, it should have been me.
I would say that if I wasn't afraid of
I know.
People then fucking tweaking out at me. It's a joke. No, I
the only way to do that is that was Poob.
Poob.
Yeah.
They fucking hammered Poob. And then they hammered Will too with the racy ones.
No, but I'm saying like he just went in there, dude.
I know.
Like zero hesitation.
Oh, that was Will.
Just
sucked on the
Will.
Sucked the chocolate. Yeah.
Like straight off.
There is no fucking way I can do that. There's no way. I can't do it.
No. What if their feet smell bad?
That's not what I was worried about.
No, what were you worried about?
What do you mean worried about?
What if their feet taste bad?
I'm not worried about the feet.
Feet are dirty.
I'm not worried. What do you mean? What am I worried about?
Your wife?
Well, I don't even think she would get that mad. I think just the idea, the visual.
Yeah, Kevin.
Oh, of people seeing you suck on somebody's toes.
I think my wife would be mad if I chicken out of it. I think that I would just the whole thing.
Well, I'm saying that's why Will.
Would you do that?
Neff did such a good job. He just like dove in there, you know?
I know he did.
Yeah.
I just think that's Will Neff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just imagine every William Austin video you've ever seen and now you see him sucking on toes. That's for the paywall.
If it's for a Wubby thing, then you're like, oh, wow.
Would you have done
I didn't
that?
Know he had
Would
that
you have
dog
sucked
in him.
Chocolate off a sex worker's toes?
Like, no. Generally, no. But if you put me in
generally.
A situation.
And the prize is nothing.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, but then everybody's going to call me, you know, names for not doing it. But also, they're going to call me names for doing
it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's the fucking torture.
Yeah.
Is you're sitting there. You know how many people probably subscribe to her page that would fucking kill for that opportunity? And that was like my worst nightmare in that moment.
Yeah.
They're like, where am I? What am I doing right now?
It's Lady in the Streets, by the way.
Is that her?
Yeah.
Was it actually?
Yeah.
You figured this out?
Yeah.
I knew that was a good sponsor for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was that really her name?
Yeah, that's her name on Reddit. I don't know her fancy name.
Oh my God. I just kept my eyes down. Kept my body down. Kept my mind down.
Yeah.
I was just in the gutter, you know, in the little rat zone I had made for myself psychologically. I think the two that scared me the most, there were so many, the freaking presentation, that was rough. If this was not live, I would do it. But holy shit, reading off a PowerPoint. It started with Poob just ate it too. It was like, it starts with, and I think it was like, I am a born Cherokee. So I think apparently actually it does have, he's like some percent Native American.
Okay.
And the next slide of course is like, you know, but I choose to be black. He's sitting there with the clicker, and I'm sitting there like as far away as I.
So he doesn't know what's coming up.
He doesn't know what's coming, and I'm just like, I would whip it out and get this stream.
Oh yeah, like you had the nuclear option.
Yeah, like I think at this point, whipping my penis out and getting the stream taken down is less bad than reading this PowerPoint out loud.
That's so funny.
Like, fuck. I'm not, not today.
I wouldn't have liked the cockroach one, would have freaked me out.
That's why I didn't lose.
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like, you know, when they dropped you on that flour, like the mattress covered in flour, they should have done it from a lot higher.
Like there's so much going on.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, any of these individual things might feel like not that interesting until you realize they were 15 minutes apart.
We were doing a watch party kind of like on the Discord, on the Safety Third Discord.
Party? Fuck you.
I mean, kind of a party,
watching
kind of a celebration.
Fuck you, double fuck you.
No, it's like how you're rooting for your favorite team, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Was it me?
Yeah, like the underdog.
Okay, oh, the underdog.
Yeah, they're going to win.
The rat.
And, you know, I had it like open on the second monitor and... You know, I'd like...
Oh, not the first one?
No, I was playing Arc Raiders on the first one.
Okay, you needed double stimulation.
So
I had zero enrichment, asshole.
I know. I heard you guys talking about, man, I wish we could play Arc Raiders right now.
Fucking anything.
That's what Matt was saying. It's like, oh, I'd kill for a game of Arc Raiders right now as I'm playing Arc Raiders.
I was scraping Legos off the ground. They were knockoff Legos, Kevin. Literally, it was a punishment. They made him walk over Legos and I was fucking collecting them.
Yeah.
So we could build Lego stuff.
And then I would walk away. I would go have lunch. I would come back and I would, like, you know, say it was like 2 hours, right? Yeah. I would kind of skim through to try to find the challenges.
Right.
And I realized I missed so many of them because you were talking about all these challenges that I didn't see.
You know who didn't miss them? Me.
Thank you for reminding me.
Do you know? Okay. So imagine you've got a bunch of Legos in your room and you want to build something. You're like, I would love to build something with Legos. But you also know that 15 minutes later, your stepdad, abusive stepdad, is going to come in and knock whatever you build on the floor and tell you that real men don't play with Legos. Would you build Legos still?
And I loved... No, I wouldn't.
That's how I felt. No. The instant I collected all the Legos, we had a huge pile of Legos plus the set they gave us. I was like, I have zero enthusiasm for building this right now because they're just going to come in and destroy it.
I know. Like with the puzzle, you guys were saying like, oh, I wonder if we complete it. Do we get a prize? Does something...
Magic the Gathering cards?
Something good happen? You're like... And then they come out and they destroy it. And you're like, well, maybe we didn't build it fast enough, you know? And then everything else they would bring out is like, oh God, what are we supposed to do? What does this mean? How do we appease them? And there was no way.
Dude, even when I was like, I found like a really good corner to hide in, like far back corner. Cause like I could put most of my body behind a trash can and not move.
Yeah.
And like the Oni wouldn't come after me because they didn't realize I was there. And I was like, they're going to tell them that I'm there.
Yes.
Like I knew that hiding would draw too much attention to me and I would get beamed harder for it. Like that's where I, like, you couldn't hide.
What about climbing the bleachers? I always thought about that.
Yeah. I think we could have done that. I think that would have gotten us in trouble though. Cause you know, you obviously, you don't want to do anything that's like against the stream, right? Like you gotta, within reason.
I don't know. I mean, at this point, I think there's a lot of downtime between the Oni things. I think if you just drew the Oni thing out for like 20 minutes.
You could do it for one. I think for you could get away with
Like
I hid in a trash bag for a bit. is that a normal thing to say? Like I pulled the trash can next to me. I had taken one of the bags out earlier and I was like, I had kind of like positioned myself so that I was like half out of the bag and behind the trash can.
So it looked like there was just a bag of trash next to the trash can.
Exactly. And it wasn't moving. It didn't look like a human. And I'm like sitting there and I'm just like thinking to myself that they know I'm in here.
Yeah.
They're going to tell them I'm in here.
Yep.
And I'm going to get the shit beaten out of me because I can't fucking run. You know, what do I do? The horn goes off or the cannon goes off and I then hide? Yeah, no, I have to stay in there and I can't move. So by the time I realize that the Oni knows where I am, it's too fucking late to run because I can't run when they're coming out because then I'm not hiding.
So is that like a sudden realization that you had once the Oni popped out? Is like, oh my God, wait, he knows I'm here.
I knew that I was either going to survive or get the shit beaten out of me.
Okay.
Guess what happened? I got the shit beaten out of me. And then after the fact, they told me, they're like, oh yeah, we knew you were in there and we sent him out to beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, they had 24 cameras on you guys at all times. Like really high quality PTZ cameras.
Oh man.
Yeah, they didn't miss anything.
I knew that the more I tried to avoid it, the worse it would be. And so I just mostly like didn't try.
Yeah.
I think that's like what I'm trying to describe is this like acceptance of just sleeping and then letting them catch you and then having to drag you.
Yeah.
Like that's the only way to win is to just take the beating. Like I don't know what phase of the like diagram that exists for this it is. Like where in the circle is this? The just accepting the environment, like letting the environment win and then just like just floating through the river. That's where the trash bag one was.
Okay.
That was the point where I had
I just, you know, maybe
the
it'll
worst
say-
that happens is I lose and get beaten.
Yeah, which is gonna happen anyway. So
yeah.
There's a chance. I don't know, Nigel, would you do it? Do you think you could survive?
I'm going to say this right now. There's no fucking way Nigel could throw down. Literally, no fucking way.
Here's the thing.
Weak
I wouldn't
ass.
Do it. But if I if I signed up not knowing what it was,
he would walk out.
I would have no choice.
Nigel would walk out. I would put my life on you walking out.
No.
Okay. Watch the stream. Watch a little bit of the stream and then form your opinion afterwards.
Here's the people that I say wouldn't walk out. Because it's not a toughness thing. And there's something, I don't know how to describe it other than because you can't make it good. You can only put up with it. I think the people that could do it, because all I will say about myself is that was like completely, that was a fully consumed tank.
Yeah.
That was not like I had more tank. That was like pretty maximum like endurance for the whole thing. I would say that was like peak.
Mm-hmm.
Max, absolutely maxed out. I think Michael could do it. I think Alan could do it. I don't think Nigel could do it. No, I know that Nigel couldn't do it. I don't think Kevin could do it. I think Kevin could do half of it. I think Nigel could do the first 20 minutes.
No, I mean,
I could do it until I got sleepy.
Why would I leave?
Not a debate. You would last 20 minutes and then you would leave.
No, I mean, if I knew what it was, I would never show up. But if I was there, I wouldn't leave.
I think that, who else do I think could do it?
But I think watching...
Alex Ernst could do it.
Okay.
He'd be having a mental breakdown, but he would... He's the kind of... Alex Ernst is the, like, the float down the river. Like, he'll go, like, brute force.
Yeah.
Like,
he'd be the one in the fight, just like getting punched in the face, waiting for the other guy to get tired.
Exactly. Like Alex will just turn into like a fucking tank and like just be the boulder. And I think that it was the most fucking insane thing I've ever done. I feel like I have an actual taste of some of the really bad things that happen in the world. Not like the full flavor, but enough taste. Like, imagine you taste a little bit of salt.
Mm-hmm.
You can extrapolate what a lot of salt tastes like.
Yeah.
That was the experience. As I was like, I did not know what that actually was like. But now I know what that is like.
Yeah. Being like a U.S. spy caught in Russia in the Cold War.
Yes. Like, I don't know what the pain of being actually tortured is. But I know what my brain would be doing in that situation where I had like no other options.
Yeah. When you're waiting to be dragged out of your cell again.
And it's definitely bad enough that you would, if inevitably you ever made it home, you would never forget that. And normal things like sitting down in front of a TV and eating dinner would feel wrong. So thank you. I want to say thank you to that clock and the 4 Slim Jims in my sock.
Yeah. And Fansly for sponsoring
and
the whole
Fansly
thing.
Fansly for sponsoring the whole thing. Dude, having half naked girls running around made it so much worse. Yeah. I'm like, I don't need this right now.
Yeah.
This only will bring bad things.
Yeah. Especially because now you've associated them with like feelings of pain.
I'm not into women anymore.
Yeah. Because every time they would come out, something bad would happen to one of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Nigel.
I was going to say.
I do seriously mean it, though.
I think the stream makes it look a lot more fun than it was.
It was?
No, I think that's how it is. But I mean, like...
I mean, not that it wasn't fun, you know, but it makes you feel like you could do it. I haven't seen anything from it.
I just feel like the reason that I wouldn't leave is because to me, leaving is more embarrassing than staying.
That's why I didn't leave, yeah.
But what
I'm trying to say is I would never, ever, ever subject you guys to that. Like, I think the closest
Scare
thing
the
you've
coyote.
Done to something really, dude, this was 100 times more than Scare the Coyote. I think the worst thing we've ever done was the Mall Santa video, but even that was like so compartmentalized.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like really like thought out to like, and it was edited too. to sort of pull the best moments.
Oh, yeah. Being live the whole time.
The true terror of not knowing what's coming, knowing it could be really bad and really, like, not just embarrassing, but, like, actually potentially get you into shit.
See, that,
and having to go 24 hours and then the food being fucked with was, like, maxed out.
Who was the one that had to wear the pedophile sash?
Poob.
Poob. And you were trying to, like, stitch it.
Did
to
you see?
Say, like,
I was, like, trying to figure out, like, what?
There was, like, an overhead shot of me, like, folding it, unfolding it, folding it.
Like, what the fuck do I spell with this? We ended up settling on, because I also couldn't take too many letters out or it would get too short. So I we settled on, like, P-Hill.
Yeah.
Imagine we're shooting a show and I come out with a sash that says pedophile on it and I put it on you. What do you do?
Okay, your other options are secretly racist.
You would you wear it?
If you just put it on me, I'd already be wearing it, right?
Nigel, fuck. If you didn't eat breakfast this morning, how would you feel?
I didn't eat breakfast this morning.
Okay, would you rather wear the pedophile one, the secretly racist one? I think you got off pretty easy.
I don't even know what I think they knew they couldn't put those on
the
me.
The first food, I routinely, I don't know, my eating habits are god-awful right now. But
if I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I definitely know that none of you guys would know what to do either.
So this is like, this is what I'll say about it, is if I knew what it was,
yeah,
I would never show up.
Okay? Yeah.
Right. But if I knew what it was, then I'd be prepared. Like if I, so it's like I said, I would never show up, but if I somehow did, I feel like that'd be okay. I would say that the only way, if something like that happened and I'd walk off, like for example, if you did a production, would be like, if you literally told me, you're like, oh yeah, dude, don't worry. It's like, let's say you literally lie to get me there. And then you realize the production is that now you have to endure a day where everything was just a lie. Like, then I would just be annoyed to start off, right? Like, that would just be bad. Versus if it was like, oh, it's a mystery, but just know it's going to be brutal, I'd be, like, more likely to stay. Like I said, I would walk off if you literally, this is poorly worded, but if you told me, you put on a production like that and said, dude, it's fine, we're going to start late, maybe at noon. We'll end at like, you know, a few hours. It's only gonna be 4 hours. It's chill. You get like breaks. And then I show up and he goes, no, it's 24 hours. No breaks. You're being tortured. I'd be like, I'm not dealing with this. I'm leaving. Cause I'm just like salty at you.
I think Will knew like what he was getting into. Just not.
I knew it was going to be bad.
To that level.
Not the scope of everything.
I was like, my fear with the whole thing, because I was, you know, I just, you know, I did the smartest thing I could do, and I just, you know, I reached about around and just tried to get some vibes from people. I'm like, I just need to know how bad. Like, what are we talking? Like, where in the bad scale are we going? Like, is this survivable or is this like career ending bad? Because you really you can't leave. Yeah. Like leaving is like the worst thing you can do. And so you gotta like stick it through. But there's a point where you're like, oh shit, I don't fucking know. I don't know how, I do not know what to do.
Yeah.
And the couple that I did not know what to do, I didn't get stuck with. And I don't know if that was their genius or if I got lucky.
That's what I feel like it's definitely like their genius.
I think a little bit of both.
They kind of planned some stuff. Or like,
I mean, I feel
you
like
know.
It's probably a bit like the Santa one where we went in thinking it was all completely like, you know.
Right.
But then you say, you're like, yeah, I know this kind of like there was some like strings to make it go a certain way. Whereas I feel like it's probably the same thing where for example, if you said you have like fancy girls running around, it's like if one of the guys there, you know that if he'll do anything, like he'll do everything except, you know, the toe sucking part.
Right.
You'll be like, I'm not going to shove that on him because it's going to kind of like make his whole experience bad. Whereas he'd be willing to just get abused in every other way and have a good time still.
Here,
so it's like, I feel like there's a little bit of that probably. I'm saying this knowing nothing. Yeah. I haven't even seen clips from it.
Here's how I'll frame it. for me, I was like, because I did ask, is there anything you won't do?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm
like, can you like,
so like the things that I would like, I was thinking.
Yeah.
I didn't you're like, say, how do I,
I was like,
that?
It's probably not going to be that. I probably should have. Cause like the one would have been like no sexual stuff, but I didn't end up with any of that anyways.
Okay.
And I think that's pretty, and nothing that leaves like a physical mark, like a long lasting physical mark. So like the wiffle bat's fine. No, I was like paintball. That was like the one question. It's like basically like if it's anything like paintball, like no fucking way. Like I will not get shot with a paintball gun.
Oh,
it's not getting shot with a paintball gun.
As long
it's just
not
like
the face.
The inability to like just to have to stand there and take it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the like defenselessness with something that's like, I would say considerably bad. Like paintballs are pretty bad. Oh. They'll make you bleed.
Depending on what you have on. If you have if it hits your skin, it's bad. But if you have if it's in jeans, you're kind of
hot. Dude, even a t-shirt, you're gonna have a giant nasty
Yeah. That's not nice.
The paintball
depends
gun,
on how
say,
much they crank it.
Yeah, I would say it's more of like a litmus test. It's like the paintball gun's the canary in the coal mine. Like if the paintball gun is on the table.
Yeah, like a surprise paintball gun attack.
Right.
Kind
like,
of thing.
If that's on the table, like what else is on the table?
The thing that I find is weird though about these challenges, kind of like what you said. I feel like if we were other people, your fears would be different. Cause it's like, as someone who is a creator, you go in and like you said, I don't know the games, but it's like in your head, you're like, if I say this, that might impact, you know, you're fearing that you will be forced to do something.
I trust them on this stand, on like the production stand. Yeah.
I agree, but it's just in general, it's like, like you said, you're like, I don't want to be put into a position that I'm forced to kind of balance between what I'm comfortable doing, which matters less than, like you said, looking good on camera.
I will do fucking anything as long as it doesn't cause me
have
lasting repercussions.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying is like, I feel like if you were just some random who has no internet presence, right? And they'd be like, oh, you know, you got to go do this nasty thing. You're like, I don't care. No one knows who I am. Whereas you might go, I'm actually kind of fine doing that, but I don't want to be the guy who did that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's, I don't want to be put in this position where I'm trying to like, not, like you said, have lasting effects on how my image is, but then also not look like I'm babying out, which also will affect my image. Like it's very image based versus I find, if you found a guy on the street and paid him 10 grand to do it, he's just like, his thing is eating a cockroach or something. Let's say he's like, is that gross? Whereas like, if I were to eat it, I'd be like, do I want to be the guy who like, let's say did that thing on camera. And like that starts to go through my head. Whereas I feel like it compounds and makes the fears different.
If I lost fair and square, I would eat it. I didn't lose though.
It depends if I knew it was like, if they caught it like in the cafeteria,
it was clearly like a dried package.
I would eat it.
Oh, it wasn't. It was like no seasoning. I said it's a live cockroach.
No, oh no, I wouldn't do that. No, because
I find the same thing too. Is like for one of the blue shorts, I think extra or something. I ate like a dry tarantula.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh yeah,
and the thing though is that like I do. That's the other factor is like when you know you're trying to do like a production, even if it's for someone else.
Yeah,
you kind of are like you're outside of yourself in a way where you're like I'll do this thing. Whereas if I'm just chilling with you and you're like you want to eat this tarantula, I'd be like no, I don't want to. But if you were filming,
Kevin would say yes.
And it's for,
Kevin would try it.
But if it but for like
I
scare
would,
the coyote,
yeah.
I would. Like you know what I mean. Like if it's you're playing it up, you're kind of hyped.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. You're like, you know what? I'll do it because it's fun for the production.
I know what you're
just
saying.
Sitting
yeah.
there and you toss it to me. I'm like, I don't want this. Why would I eat that?
I'll definitely
like,
willingly subject myself
on.
To worse stuff on camera than I like. Why would you do that?
Exactly.
IRL?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I think I would draw the line at honestly putting gross stuff in my mouth.
Even if it was like safe.
Well, I wouldn't trust them that it's safe.
Oh,
that's where it comes from.
I think that one, I trust. That one,
like if I saw it come out of a package, I would do it.
Hot pocket that they had, they probably had like a thumbprint in it, and I'm just like, fucking assholes.
Oh, just like right through the crust.
But like, it's probably like a glove. I'm assuming it's somebody like they're not going to like, because it was like a super professional setup.
It's I got that vibe by watching it.
Super professional production team. Like, yeah. The setup behind the stage is crazy. So you know they're doing it just to like fuck with you.
And like how every time they did a challenge, they could get everything out like instantly. It's like they move like all these beds and mattresses, or like that the rig that hung you up on top of the mattress to drop you on the floor. Like they had that set up in a minute.
Yeah.
It was wild.
I still spit the sushi out though.
Yeah.
I imagine there's stuff going on too where it's like, let's say you like you kind of mentioned this before, where you're put in a position where you're like, this is like my line, but I don't want to be that guy who just like,
there was a safe word. To be clear, there definitely was a safe word.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, but there is that thing where you're like you said, you're like, I didn't tell them this was something I'm not comfortable doing, but this is like really bad. It's like you said, I didn't know there's a safe word, but then there's like them noticing and being like, they pivot in real time, where it's like you don't have to be pushed to the point where you're like, I am going to legitimately hate myself after this, or have, like you said, like lasting problems. Like that's not really in their interest.
Yeah, no.
I wonder, you could play off instead of having a safe word, just have a pass. And then you would have to do some
a negotiation with the other guys. Yeah. You can like a handoff, like you can do a switch.
Yeah.
Or they put you like in like
trade, yeah.
They put you in the Tower of Shame for 30 minutes and
hang
you from the ceiling or something.
Yeah. No, I like that idea. I think like seeing how it was and kind of, you know, like knowing reference for the future, like as long as I didn't have the fear of landing on one of the ones I'm most afraid of, then it's fine.
Yeah. You know, I really liked the soccer one. I thought that was
when they had all the balls wailed on him.
So they had this guy. I think it was Poob. Yeah, he was he was a goalie.
This guy seems to get everything bad.
I was just saying Poob got the short end of the stick. Poob and Will Neff.
But it wasn't that bad. But it was so then they had the girls come out and try to kick the soccer balls into the goal.
And they were so shitty at soccer.
They were because they were wearing like platform.
Where
boots.
Do I see this? Where can I see clips?
I think his Twitch, probably. Yeah. I mean, maybe he's going to upload it to YouTube.
So. And, you know, there was four balls lined up. They each did two and he blocked them all.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he's like, all right.
Then he's like, I know what's coming. Like there's like, obviously they're going to send like.
And then they sent out like two pro soccer players. Like, I'm like, okay, how did they get these guys? Number one. And then the girls bring the balls like 10 feet closer to the goal.
Yeah.
And you could tell they were taking it easy on him at first. They weren't trying to make it in the goal, no. To be clear. And they started like kicking the ball at him. And then you all egged on the soccer players. Like,
that's it?
I could kick harder than that.
Well, because you can kick shitty.
Yeah. And then they really
wailed him.
Yeah.
I think like the fact that you know how it's going to happen. You know, the girls are going to kick in. It's not that big of a deal. And you know that's not the end of it without knowing where it's going. You know it's not ending. Like, that is where we were all living.
I think that was pretty early on, though. So I think
was today or yesterday. Fuck me, bro.
That was the second.
Saturday. Oh, wait, that was that recent?
That was Sunday morning.
Was it in the morning?
It was in the morning on Sunday. Oh. Yeah, because I think they'd already done.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. Sandra was.
Oh, yeah. So here's one. So they reenacted the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Should I have yelled the safe word on that one?
No.
You think I could? You think that would be? I'd be fine.
Yeah, I think that one's fine.
I think what also goes a long way is just like openly stating your objections. Like you just
I object.
Like if you just no. Like I'm saying, like they go, you do this, and if you just comment, like just react. You know what I mean? Like if you just like you said, you're like, I don't know about this one. It's like I think that's fine. It's like as long as it's like you know, there's some. You're able to state, like, hey, man, I'm against this, but I'm being forced into it.
Here's gotta do it.
If we were doing Scare the Coyote Season 2 and we had a cross and the challenge was to be crucified, what would you do?
I would go, look, I will do anything.
When you put it like that, maybe it's not a good idea. Maybe I
would.
No,
I said I will do anything for the show and know that this is not my idea.
You just like the show That's must it. Go on. Look straight into the camera.
I really hope the editors have something going on behind the scenes.
Like, and this part cannot be edited out. My objections.
Like, I don't know. I really appreciated that one though, because I ended up using the rope for it to tie a noose for myself.
Yeah, you were double noosed up at one point.
And I had a noose on the other end too, two nooses.
Did you ever like noose up with somebody else?
I tried. Nobody went. I think we were afraid of doing that. Yeah. And that's right when they send the Oni out. And we go.
You both strangle each other. Yeah.
At some point
other.
Though, I was like, I was praying for death.
Yeah. I liked when you guys were you were planning on fighting back. So you started building a fortress out of tables and chairs in the last like 20 minutes.
Okay. Let me like, I'll try to paint this picture. It's been 23 hours. There's an hour left at like 11. I don't even know. I think it was like an hour before the end. They hammered us with like three or four things. And Wubby came out and he's like, all right, it's going to pick up the pace, blah, blah. And we're like, okay. And so you're sitting there thinking like, all right, they've like clapped us and they're going to keep clapping us. And then it like stopped. So like at like 11:15, 11:30, there's like 30 minutes left. Like nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends at noon. And nothing's happened.
I think you got the magic one like 12:30.
So then now imagine it's 12:45 and nothing's happened in 15 minutes and you're approaching the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or 11:30.
You're like, oh God, what are they planning? Oh God. What's it going to be? What's it going to be?
Like, you know that if it was like a drawn out finale where like something's happening every like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You're like, cool. They're like hammering us till the end.
Yeah.
But when it's approaching the end and there's been nothing you're resembling like, oh, they're a preparing. Finale.
They need a lot of time to prepare. It's going to be bad.
I'm not even thinking about preparing. I'm like, they're just fucking with us. Like they're like purposefully not doing anything until the very end so they can absolutely pound you. And so that was the realization that like something really bad was coming and we needed to build a barricade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then nothing happened and nothing happened and nothing happened. And it's noon. It's like right on noon or like 11:59. And they like set up four chairs on the other side of the room next to the stage. And they're like, come over for a picture. So they like, they've broken the matrix, right?
Yeah.
So like you're used to this formula.
Yeah.
You know, you're sort of.
You folded so fast.
Well, because you know that like you want to, you know, you're like want it to be over, right? And so you know that you're like, if you're going to willingly participate in this, you like have to do it. And I immediately grabbed one of my rat nest trash bags, like the 50-gallon trash bag.
So smart.
And because I put the like chairs next to each other and I'm like, they're going to do something like, because like what are they going to beat us?
Well, I'm like, well, he wants to take a picture and you know.
And nothing. There's been no finale. And he wants to take a picture.
I didn't know what it was, but having the chairs next to each other didn't stand out to me as something
are
that
you serious?
Weird.
The nothing happening didn't stand out. Dude, that's what I'm saying. It's a different world when you're there. Because this is like you've been getting pounded.
The fact that the chairs were up against a black curtain in the corner of the room and you couldn't see what was behind it, that was the weird part.
Imagine your dad is like pissed at you and he's like, he punches you and he's like just yelling at you in your room for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he's like, he like gets quiet and then leaves.
And then he comes back and he brings a chair.
He's like digging. He's like, you hear him in the garage, in like a weird part of the garage he doesn't normally go in. Like he's opening a cabinet and you're like, why would he... And you're like, oh God, what's happening?
And then he brings a chair in and he's like, sit in the chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he like puts on brass knuckles.
I just want to take a picture.
Right.
And you're like,
He's like, are you going to execute me right now, Dad? That's what I knew that was what was happening. Like that's everything, every part of my body, my prediction machine was like,
yeah,
there is no way that something horrible isn't happening right now. That is the 24 hours. Was a constant expectation of something awful. And when nothing has happened and the show is about to be over and they line up four chairs to take a picture, there's only one thing that can happen. And there's only one thing my brain is screaming.
Can you give me a play-by-play of what happens after you sit down? Because the stream actually shut down as soon as you sat down in those chairs.
Okay, so we sat down and the Oni came out behind us. They started wheeling the, like, just carts and carts and carts filled with like the shaving cream pies. Like
oh, pie yeah. Things.
And then they stopped and Wubby said, go back. And then we waited a second. And then they kind of like came in again.
Okay.
So they just kind of like reset.
Okay. Okay. And I think the stream came back on like right as they were like throwing the first pie.
Oh, really? So
yeah.
They didn't even catch the wheel up?
No.
Oh, that's
at least I didn't see it, but I was sitting there like, refresh.
That's really, what a fucking ball drop by Twitch. Holy shit.
Yeah.
What an embarrassment. You have this creator dumping like God knows how much money, like hundreds of thousands of dollars into this production, and you fucking don't pay attention to that.
Dude, I know.
That's bad.
Apparently, people in the chat were saying that it's like Twitch restarts a stream after 24 hours.
You think they couldn't like...
I don't know.
Could you imagine? Like, dude, making content for a platform is like the hardest part of
But I think that Webby would have known that, and he would have maybe done the reset in the middle of the night.
Maybe.
Or something.
I have no idea.
Maybe. Who knows? Yeah.
Maybe they talked with Twitch and asked them to not do that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but
also either, like for big creators, I feel like they just shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
like if a stream is over a certain size, don't reset.
Yeah, I would have figured that if it was a problem, if Webby knew it was going to be a problem, he would have done something about it. So they like totally blindsided him by like, you know, surprise kind of thing.
God bless the internet and the internet companies.
Yeah.
Anyways, and they just pied us a bunch. Was pretty unscathed thanks to my.
It was shaving cream, so it wasn't even whipped cream.
No, shaving cream.
It didn't even taste good, huh?
Dude, like even like no, it didn't, and it burns my eyelids. Like walking in with a trash bag, I was cream even like, they're gonna make me take the trash bag off. And they didn't. I even like just cut a hole in the face. Dude, I didn't even put my head through. I just put my face through.
How did you know?
I didn't like it was in my bones. It's the finale. They haven't done anything for 30 minutes.
They're going to slime me?
Are they going to hurt me? Probably not.
Okay.
How do you have a finale with beatings? Are they just going to come out with a bunch of bats and beat us? Like, that's not satisfying. Like, there's only one finale that makes any sense in that situation, and it's making a huge fucking mess. I'm telling you, when you have that much time to think about these and you're living in it, like you know exactly what's coming next. And it was a goddamn
There wasn't
mess.
Like a faint mint scent Nothing. Wafting into the gym. Okay.
I knew it in my bones. This is going to be a disaster. I thought maybe like they were going to like have some slime mechanism above us, like dump a bunch of slime.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think it was going to be whipped cream pies. I just knew it was going to be something that got ever. Because like we're like relatively clean looking too.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah,
how clean everybody looked after all that.
Even getting like being a human mop getting dragged.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It deflected a lot. Your trash bag armor deflected most
Almost
of the pie tins.
Yeah. They also were absolute shit at throwing.
I know. I saw somebody like throwing them at you, and they kept hitting you like edge on.
And they would like flip.
Yeah. So you're like getting hit by the foil. Yeah.
I just closed my eyes.
Gotta go.
Oh, all right.
All right. We'll see you guys over on Patreon. Bye, Nigel.
Bye.
I love you.
Or we could just
Markiplier.
Fucking unbelievable. Unbelievable. See you guys next week, and we'll see you right now over on Patreon.